The Book Thief, excerpt, by Marcus Zusak.
Books everywhere. Each wall was armed with overcrowded yet immaculate shelving. It was barely possible to see the paintwork. There were all different styles and sizes of lettering on the spines of the black, the red, the grey, the every-coloured books. It was one of the most beautiful things Liesel Memminger had ever seen. With wonder, she smiled that such a room existed. Even when she tried to wipe the smile away with her forearm, she realized instantly that it was a pointless exercise. She could feel the eyes of the woman traveling her body, and when she looked at her, they had rested on her face. There was more silence than she ever thought possible. It extended like an elastic, dying to break. The girl broke it. "Can I?" The two words stood among acres and acres of vacant, wooden-floored land. The books were miles away. The woman nodded. "Yes, you can." Steadily, the room shrank, till the book thief could touch the shelves within a few small steps. She ran the back of her hand along the first shelf, listening to the shuffle of her fingernails gliding across the spinal cord of each book. It sounded like an instrument, or the notes of running feet. She used both hands. She raced them, one shelf against the other, and she laughed. Her voice was sprawled out high in her throat, and when she eventually stopped and stood in the middle of the room, she spent many minutes looking from the shelves to her fingers and back again. How many books had she touched? How many had she felt? She walked over and did it again, this time much slower, with her hand facing forward, allowing the dough of her palm to feel the small hurdle of each book. It felt like magic, like beauty, as bright lines of light shone down from a chandelier. Several times, she almost pulled a title from its place, but didn't dare disturb them. They were too perfect. To her left, she saw the woman again, standing by a large desk, still holding the small tower against her torso. She stood with a delighted crookedness. A smile appeared to have paralyzed her lips. "Do you want me to?" Liesel didn't finish the question, but actually performed what she was going to ask, walking over and taking the books gently from the woman's arms. She then placed them into the missing piece in the shelf by the slightly open window. The outside cold was streaming in. For a moment, she considered closing it, but thought better of it. This was not her house, and the situation was not to be tampered with. Instead, she returned to the lady behind her, whose smile gave the appearance now of a bruise, and whose arms were hanging slenderly at each side. What now? An awkwardness treated itself to the room, and Liesel took a final fleeting glance at the walls of books. In her mouth, the words fidgeted, but they came out in a rush. "I should go." It took three attempts to leave. She waited in the hallway for a few minutes, but the woman didn't come, and when Liesel returned to the entrance of the room, she saw her sitting at the desk, staring blankly at one of the books. She chose not to disturb her. In the hallway, she picked up the washing. When she closed the door behind her, a brass clank sounded in her ear, and with the washing next to her, she stroked the flesh of the wood. "Get going," she said. At first, she walked home dazed. The surreal experience with a room full of books and the stunned, broken woman walked alongside her. She could see it on the buildings, like a play. Wherever she looked, Liesel saw the mayor's wife with the books piled up in her arms. Around corners, she could hear the shuffle of her own hands disturbing the shelves. Even from the cellar, they could vaguely hear the tune of bombs. Air pressure shoved itself down like a ceiling, as if to mash the earth. A bite was taken of Mulking's empty streets. The sound of crying children kicked and punched. Grimy tears were loosened from children's eyes, and the smell of night breath, underarm sweat, and overworn clothes was stirred and stewed in what was now a cauldron swimming with humans. For comfort, to shut out the din of the basement, Liesel opened one of her books and began to read. The book on top of the pile was The Whistler, and she spoke it aloud to help her concentrate. The opening paragraph was numb in her ears. "What did you say?" Mama roared. But Liesel ignored her. She remained focused on the first page. When she turned to page 2, it was Rudy who noticed. He paid direct attention to what Liesel was reading, and he tapped his brother and his sisters, telling them to do the same. Hans Huberman came closer and called out, and soon a quietness started bleeding through the crowded basement. By page three, everyone was silent but Liesel. She didn't dare to look up, but she could feel their frightened eyes hanging onto her as she hauled the words in and breathed them out. A voice played the notes inside her. "This," it said, "is your accordion." The sound of the turning page carved them in half. Liesel read on. For at least 20 minutes, she handed out the story. The youngest kids were soothed by her voice, and everyone else saw visions of the Whistler running from the crime scene. Liesel did not. The book thief saw only the mechanics of the words, their bodies stranded on the paper, beaten down for her to walk on. Everyone waited for the ground to shake. That was still an immutable fact, but at least they were distracted now by the girl with the book. One of the younger boys contemplated crying again, but Liesel stopped at that moment and imitated her papa, or even Rudy for that matter. She winked at him and resumed. Only when the sirens leaked into the cellar again did someone interrupt her. "We're safe," said Mr. Jensen. "Shh," said Frau Holzapfel. Liesel looked up. "There are only 2 paragraphs till the end of the chapter," she said, and she continued reading with no fanfare or added speed, just the words. Out of respect, the adults kept everyone quiet, and Liesel finished chapter 1 of The Whistler. On their way up the stairs, the children rushed by her, but many of the older people thanked the girl for the distraction. They did so as they made their way past, and hurried from the house to see if Himmelstreet had sustained any damage. Himmelstreet was untouched.